I'm Sarah Warmby. Typhoon Mangkhut has lashed the northern Philippines with destructive winds and heavy rain that set off landslides and destroyed homes, leaving at least 12 people dead. The most ferocious typhoon to hit the disaster-prone Philippines this year slammed ashore before dawn on Saturday, bringing rain and violent winds to northern Luzon. The head of the Philippines Red Cross, Richard Gordon, says the typhoon has left a path of destruction.
Corn and rice fields have been damaged, schools have been damaged, a lot of homes don't have any roofs anymore, and above all, we have been devastated by wind and water. I think we're just beginning to see effects of the storm. After the winds come the rains, come the water, so the next problem that we have to face are floods.
Meantime, the cyclone formerly known as Hurricane Florence is dumping historic volumes of rain on North and South Carolina. The storm has been blamed for 7 deaths so far, and around 1 million Americans lack power. Our U.S. correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
As Hurricane Florence slowed to a tropical depression and slowly breaks up across the middle of the American eastern seaboard, the problem is water. Specifically, historic volumes of rain, more than 30 inches, have already fallen across North and South Carolina, with another foot expected to fall. The National Hurricane Center warns the storm will continue to produce, quote, catastrophic flash flooding and prolonged significant river flooding. That flooding is expected to continue as the remnants of Florence first turn south, dumping rain in Georgia, and then are pushed north up the mountains by the prevailing winds, with the impact felt across the American capital and into New England through the middle of the upcoming week. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Back home, Prime Minister Scott Morrison is to announce a royal commission into the aged care sector following appalling cases of abuse of elderly people. According to News Corp Australia, the decision has been triggered in part by the Oakden nursing home scandal in South Australia. Police are set to retrieve the body of a rock climber who fell 300 metres to his death off a cliff at Mount Barney in Queensland. The man had been abseiling with another man and a woman when he fell from his rope and went missing on the eastern cliff face southwest of Brisbane yesterday afternoon. A search and rescue operation was launched about 1 o'clock and rescuers airlifted a man and a woman aged in their 30s. The body of the 50-year-old man was found just before 6 last night. Police have accused a Western Australian man of stealing a car with a sleeping toddler inside and ramming into the infant's father when he tried to stop the car driving off. The incident happened on September 1, and yesterday Western Australian police arrested and charged the man with aggravated robbery, stealing and providing false details. He will appear in Perth Magistrates Court today. And people living with an autoimmune disorder that causes sudden hair loss may not have to go bald thanks to a successful drug trial. A University of Melbourne-led trial found the hair loss could be treated with two new drugs. Clinics and universities in Australia, Canada and the United States of America are involved in the trial, with another to start in the next 6 to 12 months. This is Air News. South Sydney star Adam Reynolds nailed 3 field goals, including one inside the final 60 seconds, to send the Rabbitohs to within 80 minutes of the NRL Grand Final. With St George Illawarra leading by 1 with 2 minutes to go last night, the semi-final seemed destined for Golden Point when Reynolds was on target with his second field goal. However, the Dragons inexplicably failed to get to a kick on their last play to set in motion Reynolds' opportunity to land the decisive blow in a dramatic 13-12 victory. The Rabbitohs face the Sydney Roosters. Dutch rival the Sydney Roosters in a preliminary final after beating the Dragons 13-12 at ANZ Stadium last night. Rabbitohs coach Anthony Seibold says his side has nothing to lose in next week's match.
The Roosters are probably everyone's tip to be in the grand final, minor premiers with the recruits they had. We go over there with nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Leighton Hewitt has rolled back the years alongside John Pearce to beat Austria 6-2, 6-4, 3-6, 7-5 and keep alive Australia's hopes in the Davis Cup playoff. Lewis Hamilton has tightened his grip on securing a 5th Formula One world title by coming from nowhere to claim a stunning pole position for the Singapore Grand Prix in his Mercedes, while Australian Daniel Ricciardo qualified in 6th. And David Reynolds has beaten Jamie Winkup in the second race for the grid to secure pole for today's Sandown 500. Australian Independent Radio News.
Breeding for speed.
But all jukebox is another really impressive two-year-old winner.
Jukebox arrives at Aquas Farm, undefeated at 2, bursting with early colonial speed by that speed sire Snitzel to breed your jukebox.
Fox Hero, see aquasfarm.com.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
50 months interest-free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until November 2022 at Harvey Norman. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum finance amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 50 months interest-free available now. In-store and online. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until November 2022. 50 months interest-free at Harvey Norman.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock, over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're having a bright start to your Sunday morning. I know we are. I'll tell you what, it's a devastated, as the Kiwis would say. Don't we not? By the way, the All Blacks beaten. How good's that?
Incredible.
Yeah. Mm. But I devastated Ray Thomas in here this morning because...
in the field.
When you have, look, there's a couple of reasons why you have a number of sides in the, any given competition that you support. And one is that you hedge your bets a little bit, don't you, right? But what happens when on Friday night in what was a pulsating contest at Allianz Stadium... you get resold by 1 point, and then the next night, the very next night, in a pulsating contest at ANZ Stadium.
Come on, wind this up. Come on, wind this up.
You get resold by just the 1 point.
Exactly. I've been in the fetal position ever since. Okay, so who do you go for next week?
Oh, it's an excellent question, Ray.
Roosters versus the Rabbits.
Throughout the course of this morning, 1353-53 is the open line number. Look, I was sorry to miss last week. Apparently... the quiz score now is 20 points to 16.
There was some controversy, as you would say, James. Yeah. But producer Steve gave it his imprimatur.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Look, there's a wink.
There's a nod and a wink.
No, but a transfer of money. Probably
what's the score check?
Brown paper bags. The score is 20 points to 16.
You've still got a winning lead, James. What are you worried about?
Well, Home and Hose. She was home and hose. 27 straight wins. Mm. I tell you what, the press coverage, we were just talking about it earlier. The footy finals has just overtaken everything because we have had two outstanding games. We'll get to them very shortly. But
which is one... very pertinent and salient reason why Peter Villani said the Everest must go 2 weeks after the footy finals.
Totally understand. So that's on the 13th of October.
Of,
yeah. So the great Winx, the superstar of the turf, and there I am on my Tab app out at ANZ Stadium just before I walk in watching her go around yesterday, and there's, in the end, there's about three people standing around going, oh, how's she going? You know, the interest is there, however, doesn't dominate.
Still got a full page.
She's still got a full page, but doesn't dominate the press like we have. We've seen her on the front page of the newspaper, the biggest selling newspaper in the country on a Sunday
morning.
It's
footy finals time.
Footy finals time.
Yep.
Goes over the top with that. So, but did we see Huey get a little bit more animated
on
her?
He actually admitted that.
Yeah.
He said, had to just give a little dig of the ribs at the home turn, which he's never done before in a 1,600-metre race, he said, to really get a mind on the job. Lou remained for a couple of strides. We thought, hang on, I might win this.
Oh, thought absolutely she
and
was.
And then she's put four lengths on him. And he's a legitimate Group 1 horse, so extraordinary.
I thought your new angle that you found with Chris Waller on Friday, you know, you've got to write that many stories with Chris Waller, and Wincy got to find a new angle, and that was about, you know, what happens when she gets beaten or if she gets beaten. I thought, it's a prophecy come true.
Yeah.
Ray Thomas has jinxed the great mare.
Oh, probably jinxed Penrith and St George.
You might have done that as well. Let's talk about those games. They were down 18 points to 2 at half time.
18-0 at one stage.
18-0 at one stage, but they came storming home, the Panthers.
You got an interesting theory. You said you reckon they stopped play when they got to 20-all.
They stopped. The mindset changed completely. And it was manifest itself. They kicked downfield. I think it was Maloney. It might have been Cleary. They found touch about 10 metres out from the line. It was 20-all.
Yep.
10 metres out from the Cronulla goal line. It was 20-all. And if they were behind by 2 points at that stage, they would have rushed to the scrum and packed it and stopped the clock. And yet you don't. They didn't. So that great mindset that had them storming home in the second half, and then all of a sudden it stopped. And, and you know, Townsend, a great field goal. Cleary had a really good opportunity and missed it.
The first one, not the one right at
the first one, first one, and then that was it.
Yeah. Look, as crushing as that was, I thought Penrith were fantastic when they fought back, but the Sharks, just their game management, although they were under siege in the second half, but they found a way to win. Last night, tell me if I'm wrong, I thought the Dragons were the better side, but the Souths hung in there for the entire match. When they got some ball late in the second half, they really started to turn it on. Ben Hunt, was he at fault to not kicking that last play, a minute out, fifth tackle, just before the halfway line?
It's a really hard one, isn't it? And Dragons fans, give us a call, 1353.
Mary McGregor.
Rabbitohs fans, give us a call.
Heart attack.
It's not often you can say that one play can cost you a game, but when it's a one-point game, when it's 12-all, and it's not that you were saying, oh, well, did he have time to kick? And it's not that DeBellin had a chance to pass, or Kurt Mann, whether he had a chance to pass or not. When you're the number seven, when there's
you
recognise number six is not there, you've got to get that kick in. You've just got to get the ball away.
Did you see Paul McGregor's reaction?
Of course I did.
Yeah. On the flip side, Souths have been under siege all week.
Yes,
in the media
for the last couple of days.
Yeah, good point. Last couple of days. They've got out of jail in some respects last night, but I think they showed great character to go out there and defend the way they did at certain times in that match and come away with a win. Can they use that now and really start to build momentum into the prelim final, which is an absolute classic potentially against the Roosters?
Just on that, and with Sam Burgess and the issues around the South Sydney players, and they're trying to manage the situation quite obviously and still maintain good play on the field, and that was very difficult last night. I thought it took a toll on all the players, just by the looks of things. And you know, there's all sorts of things at play here, the media's involvement, the actual aims of the young lady, the context in which the situation occurred. But at the end of the day, if the players behave in an acceptable manner, there is no concern there. Whether the Rabbitohs responded to emails or didn't respond, etc., etc. If the players behave in a manner that is appropriate, then there is no concern for anyone.
And isn't that the key, Jim? Because everyone's having a shot at the media for reporting it.
Mostly the Daily Telegraph.
Okay.
Your comrades.
Fair enough. Yeah. The young lady for coming out now. But isn't the point was that she actually made a complaint months ago about this very incident, and it wasn't acted upon. Why she came out now, that's entirely her. You've got to ask her. But at the end of the day, she has made a complaint months ago, and it wasn't acted upon. Isn't that the point?
That's the point after the point I made about the player's behaviour. So there's a number of factors at play along a timeline. But, again, you're quite right.
It should have been dealt with.
If again, you have to say it's a breakdown in the system or the processes that are there at South Sydney. We'll take your thoughts on that. 1353 is the open line number. The other one for South Sydney fans, is he in trouble? Greg Inglis.
Yeah, interested in your thoughts on Twitter last night. Jim, you thought he was okay. I don't think there was a lot different to the Latrell Mitchell issue. He certainly... He got him in a very awkward spot last night, Inglis. So.
See, I thought it was significantly different from the Latrell Mitchell one. So the Latrell Mitchell one and the Will Chambers one, there wasn't a great deal of difference. And that is when they leave the ground and bring pressure down on the head of the player. They actually make a decision to leave the ground and therefore all their weight goes on the player. Greg Inglis didn't do that.
But what's the difference of that, Jimmy? At the end of the day, he's still putting pressure on the neck and the head. So what's the difference whether you jump up and down or you put pressure on anyway? It's still a dangerous tackle.
I think the intent.
Still there.
Well, let's look at it this way then. If you are right, and if you would walk in there and you're at the judiciary, you say, look at the Latrell Mitchell one. That's grade one.
He got grade one, didn't he?
Right,
and he had carryover points, didn't
correct.
He?
Correct.
Yes.
So he had 75 carryover points. If you look at the Greg Inglis one and you say, well, that's clearly, in my mind, it's a lesser, but let's say in your mind, it's as bad as the Latrell Mitchell one.
Well, you couldn't let it not go punished in some way, shape or form, otherwise you're condoning that sort of tackle.
So you get grade one.
Yep.
Right?
And he's got no carryover points.
And it's a base penalty of 100.
So he's sweet.
He'll play.
Yep.
He'll play. You're right. It's a cracker. It's an absolute cracker.
Who do you go for, James?
The last game at Allianz Stadium. We'll get to that throughout the course.
You're still thinking about it, eh?
We do have a big program lined up for everyone. At the race replay. Oh, they're still here, are they? Okay. We'll have a look at the race replays a little bit later on.
We went seamlessly last week with Phil Mossy.
What do you say? You're trying to get rid of me.
No, straight away, you had a crack on me right at the start. The Dragons and Panthers. Race replays are still here. We're in spring carnival time, you know.
I know. Yeah. Chris Waller will be on the program. We'll have a chat to him. Chris Lees, what a big day for him. Miss Fabulous. What a run.
And Smart Melody in Melbourne.
Melody in Melbourne and Le Romaine.
It was great.
He nearly did the impossible. So we'll have a chat with Chris about that as well. Zorba will look forward to his thoughts on the game of rugby league. Joe Pride, ball of muscle. Come on,
and
Neil Werrett.
And South Sydney.
And the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Come on, Neil Werrett.
Max Whitby.
Come on, Max. Ball of muscles looking for a slot. Event Cinema's quiz as well. We already know the score up there, and lots of controversy around that. Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest of rugby league. And what about this? If you're going to have a big semi-final next week and it's the Roosters up against the Rabbitohs, who would you get as your legend of the game? The great Ronnie Coote. So there you go. The legendary back rower for the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Prince of Locks.
Prince of Locks. Oh, he's a magnificent cover defender.
What a player he was. Remember, you were too young probably. As a kid, there were two cards, footy cards, bubblegum cards that you prized.
Right.
One was Bozo Fulton in the Manly jump, which you could never get.
Is that right? It was a hard one?
Impossible. Another one was Ron Coote in the South jumper, which because he changed to the Roosters in 72 by memory.
Correct.
Yeah, and so the South one in 71 was a kid. You just wanted to get that one of Ronnie
Coote. Right?
You couldn't get it. Bozo, I could never get him. Never had either. He tried to swap everything for him. Henry Tartner and all sorts of things. No luck.
I've got seven Henry Tartners. Yeah. With due respect to Henry. That's 50 years ago, and you know my kids still are obsessed about footy cards.
There you go.
They love them. They love footy cards. And we'll have a chat with Shane Flanagan. This is big for him. A great win on Friday night. He's in the middle of contract negotiations. It's good timing. And they'll go down to Melbourne. Having gone down to Melbourne a few weeks ago and beaten Melbourne in Melbourne, they're not afraid of Melbourne. They might be a little
bit twice this season.
Might be a little bit concerned if they don't have Paul Gallen and Luke Lewis, and we can ask him about that. We'll talk A-League and EPL with Phil Moss. Trent Lansgale from tab.com.au, and of course your calls on 1353 53.
This is SMS from John from Moorbank. Jimmy, credit where credit's due. I think you may have been right in saying Cronulla got the better buy in the Moylan-Maloney swap. Moylan had a great game, didn't he? Kicking game was fantastic Friday night.
I've maintained that throughout, and what I was thinking on Friday night was not the fact that this will decide who got the best of the deal. You know, who got the best. And Maloney wasn't good, and they worked him over. I can't wait to speak to Shane Flanagan about that, the way they worked James Maloney over in defence. But you don't base your decision on that one game.
Maloney's had a great season.
He's had a very good season.
Things for the Panthers.
But Matt Moylan is getting better and better.
He was brilliant Friday night, wasn't he? And some of his defence too, one-on-one too, because he's often been criticised for his defence. I took particular, some of the big forwards ran at him, very similar game plan running at Maloney.
Yes.
Moylan didn't flinch once. I don't think he missed a tackle, did he?
He might have, but he was going in with great intent. I'll tell you the guy, Chad Townsend, I've never seen him play better. Never seen him have a better game, Chad Townsend. I thought he was absolutely outstanding and man of the match on Friday night. So let's go to our talk topic for today. And, of course, it's a significant day next Saturday, Ray. Allianz Stadium, which was opened in 1988, the Roosters played the Dragons in round one of the New South Wales Rugby League, as it was then, and then the two...
So Roosters played Dragons, and Dragons also played in the first game at the Parramatta Stadium, which has been torn down.
Correct, two years earlier. Can't wait to see that one. That's the jewel in the crown. We've been saying that for a long time, that one at Parramatta. The first game was played there. The last game will be played against the two major tenants over the course of its history, really. Mm. Certainly from a rugby league point of view. The Roosters up against the Rabbitohs.
Extraordinary synergy, isn't it?
In a preliminary final. And so it had us thinking, and we're excited about the new stadium coming there.
Yep.
To be honest, I'm going to put my hand up and say I'm more excited about the Parramatta Stadium. But the new stadium coming there, what's the greatest stadium you've ever been in your life? Now, we'll accept if you were just there on a guided tour, but we want to know if there was a game,
Oh, gee, you got me thinking now. Hang on.
The best one you've been to. You've been well-travelled, I tell you. And most of it's been behind the glass walls.
Oh, come on, don't be like that. Come on.
Enjoying it.
Oh, okay, can I say one?
Yeah.
Yankee Stadium in New York. I do like baseball.
Yes.
I love the Yankees. I love the whole history behind the club.
Yes.
And this was the old stadium. So it was...
Wow.
It was
the house that Babe built.
Yes, 2000. So I think it was a year or two before it was knocked down.
Right.
And just to sit there, after reading so much about this since I was a kid, and to sit there and watch a game of the Yankees on was... It was surreal.
Who'd they play?
Chicago White Sox got beaten 3-1 too.
Oh, really?
I remember the size of the beer mugs.
Yeah.
You drink three or four, carrying you out.
My wife talks about beer and innings during. Oh, the other year, you get beer and innings. Wow. They got the big.
What about you, James? You would have played in some great stadiums over the years.
I was lucky enough to play in some great stadiums. Played in some bad ones too, Ray. Mm. Don't worry about that. But I was lucky enough when I was over in England to go to Old Trafford.
Wow. Yeah.
Not the cricket ground, the football ground. I went to the cricket ground as well.
So, is this to see a game play, or actually to be at a place? Or?
To see a game played. I saw Manchester United versus Tottenham, and it was when they were presented the trophy at the end of the 99-2000 season, because they'd had accrued so many points that they couldn't be beaten. There were still a couple of games to go in the competition proper, and at that stage they'd just built a new stand at Old Trafford, and they were just filling it up with seats as they'd go along, and every week...
Wow.
Manchester United would break the record for the highest attendance at an EPL game. And then they put some more seats in, and then they go, bang, we beat
the new record
again.
So that's the key. You have to have seen a game played at that stadium, because I've been to Lords and to Anfield, but
never seen a game.
Tours,
okay.
MCG, SCG, played and ran on the SCG, that count?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it does, if you're a participant on the field. 3-0 Manchester United over Tottenham, David Beckham scored from a dead ball.
Oh, really?
A penalty kick, and he curled it in. Away you go.
How many people would have been there?
67,000.
Okay.
Kickoff was 11 o'clock. I was in a corporate area.
Yeah.
One of the directors from the Salford Reds, the pride of the city, took me along with a couple of the other Aussie guys.
How was that?
And you had... Because they started so early, it was 11 o'clock kickoff game. We had lunch at half time. Tuck into lunch and then back out for the second half.
Okay, so we need to hear what our listeners think about this. I love it now. The stadiums that you've been to, the great stadiums.
The great atmospheres, the great stadiums.
There had to have been a game there.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us about the game. Tell us about your experience. 1353 53, the open line number. Get us on the SMS. They're flying in already. 0419 767 272. And of course on Twitter at BigSportsWEND. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Another quick success story about radio. A bakery made the tastiest sausage rolls. Anyone who tried them loved them.
Oh, scrummy.
But when they advertised, they just looked like every other. So they turned to radio, the medium Aussies trust most. So when real Aussies heard real people reacting to them, they believed the sausage rolls were as tasty,
scrummy,
like herb, as they sounded, and tried them for themselves, which tripled sales, achieving a campaign ROI of 500%.
Scrummy.
And it was all thanks to radio. Alive with taste, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plan or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au.
Freestanding clear at the 100. They're coming hell west and crooked, but it's freestanding for the Northern Rivers in front, and freestanding will win it.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray, and your talk topics. Going gangbusters already, Jim. This is going to be hard to beat. Henry from the Bay, Sydney Olympic Stadium 2000, when Cathy Freeman won her gold medal. We were both there that night, weren't we?
I was there. Great nights. I was there with my late father.
Oh, there you go.
And the 200 Ben, we were right on about the 200 Ben, and she turned to me, he said, I think she's in trouble, Cathy. Mm. And about 100 out, he went, oh, no, we're right now.
She was amazing.
Outstanding.
Did you happen to catch the Wallabies last night, James?
I caught a little bit of it.
23-19 Argentina.
Israel Folau, not his finest moment. Disappointment there. And GWS fans, unfortunately, low-scoring game, and they couldn't
bit
kick
of rain.
Straight.
A lot of rain.
Couldn't kick straight, the Magpies. 9-15-69, GWS 9-5-59.
So both Sydney teams out. So Melbourne Demons, who beat Hawthorn on Friday night, they have to travel to Perth to take on West Coast, and Collingwood v Richmond in the two grand final qualifiers.
Oh, that'll
next
be a
week.
Small one down there in Melbourne. Collingwood v Richmond.
I might get a lazy 90,000 for that one, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. Morning, Jimmy, Ray, and Tanya. Hashtag more Mossy. Jeez, Glenn, the Newcastle
City. That's a great point, Ray.
That is a great point. Thank you, Mossy. Can we get rid of that? Fair dinkum. Too much Mossy. There we go.
Yeah.
And then the other one that we've got here. Hey, Jimmy, after the rabbits feast on chook next week, I assume you will drag your rabbit-o scarf out of mothballs for grand final week. Don from Carlton. No, I won't, Don.
So you keep thinking about who you're going to go for next week, okay?
But hang on, Don. Let me ask, what are you doing with your Dragons jersey right now?
Come on, move on.
Thanks.
Move on from
all
that.
All right.
You keep thinking about who you're going for next week, because you have to tell us before 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Race replay time. On to Randwick yesterday. Terrific day of racing. The shorts, unfortunately, Red's Hill, race morning scratching from the shorts.
What's the issue there? Muscle soreness?
Muscle soreness. He might have cast himself in the box and just hurt his back or something.
Right.
They're getting to the bottom of it, so they're still confident he'll be okay for the Everest. Let's listen to Baller Muscle putting his claim forward to an Everest slot.
Into the straight, Baller Muscle travelling strongly. Two lengths clear from Big Money the Monster. Invincible Star, Brace Smash hasn't got out of a pocket yet. English is holding her ground, so Brace Smash in a pocket. It's Baller Muscle. Baller Muscle giving a big sight. Invincible Star is starting to knuckle down to her work. She's coming. Brace Smash out now. Baller Muscle in front of Invincible Star. He keeps kicking Baller Muscle, and Baller Muscle led all the way. Beat Invincible Star. Brace Smash next, followed by After All.
Going to speak to Joe Pride very shortly on the program. Baller Muscle currently $51 at tab.com.au for the Everest. Trapeze Artist at $5. Red Zell at $6. Now, the horses that were beaten yesterday, English at $26. Invincible Start. Missed the start.
Super run.
So
super
excuses
run.
There. Yep. $17. Home of the Brave.
Yeah, Brave Smash ran yesterday.
Brave Smash.
He's $26. Ran third. Hugh Bowman described Brave Smash as run as superb. Just quickly with English, the slot holder Damien Flower spoke to me this morning. The mare was found to be in season. So there's a valid excuse if you want to use that for her defeat. Certainly if you like English heading towards the Everest, you've got to keep her in the mix because she'll bounce off that and improve.
Okay, the two questions that come to mind after that are, what are the impact of a mare being in season, and two, should punters been made aware of that?
Didn't know. To happen post-race.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I only found out post-race.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you...
It's one of the, it's life, it's nature, you know, and some mares can cope fine with it,
right.
others can't. So,
right.
But certainly when you're looking for a reason why she didn't run up to expectations yesterday, that straight away comes as a valid excuse. So certainly if you're on English in the Everest, plenty still to look forward to. On then to Winx. She's just superb. She's supreme. She's dominant. She keeps winning.
Le Romain goes to third from Who Shot the Barometer. Winx is on the tail of Le Romain into the straighter. Eggshart trying to push her underneath, and it's somewhat last. It's Religify in front. Le Romain goes to him. Winx is two off. Then Ace High and Eggshart. Le Romain making a bold beat for victory, but Winx is starting to cut him down. Winx moves up on the outside, takes the lead, kicks away. He's three in a row. It's her birthday, and what a way to celebrate. Long live the Queen. Winx by four lengths to Le Romain. Eggshart third, then Ace High.
I didn't know Darren Flindell was a monarchist, but anyway, Winx, $1.30 now for the WS Cox Plate. That's in 6 weeks' time, or 5 weeks and 6 days. Humidor, $15. Avelius, your horse.
Oh, she's a star.
Yeah, you love Avelius, $26. Where now for Winx? What's going to happen in that six-week period?
Yeah, Chris Waller was asked yesterday. We'll ask him again this morning. He wasn't 100% sure. There's probably two options. It's the Turnbull Stakes on October 6th, which she won last year, and then it gives her 3 weeks into the Cox Plate.
Yep.
Or he could potentially leave her at home a little bit longer, running the Craven Plate on Everest Day, and then it's 2 weeks into the Cox Plate.
Okay.
So there's a couple of options there, but I don't think Chris has quite made up his mind. On then to the T Row Stakes. When your sire's Frankel and your damn Samantha Smith, miss, you've got a head start in life, and she's got plenty of natural ability. Her name is Miss Fabulous.
Sanjita spins in front of Madame Rouge and a Hood. Then Santa Catarina from Fundamentalist Fiesta. Miss Fabulous the rails. Further back to Pretty in Pink. Well up the rise. Sanjita's got a good kick from Madame Rouge. Going up the inside, Fundamentalist Santa Catarina. Miss Fabulous looking for a run. Fiesta's chiming in and Pretty in Pink. Miss Fabulous sprints. So does Fiesta. Miss Fabulous takes the lead from Fiesta and Pretty in Pink. And Miss Fabulous up in trip. And what a performance. Miss Fabulous beats Fiesta and Pretty in Pink.
Got to love the ride of Karen McAvoy as well. She was outstanding. Just found the gap and went
way through, didn't she?
She
just took off. Yeah.
$3.50 for the Flight Stakes on the 29th of September. Fiesta, maybe Huey Bowman put his hand up yesterday and said, well, I don't think we can beat her.
Well, he conceded that. He said she was just far too good for us. So.
$8, Pretty in Pink, $8.
Good run, Pretty in Pink. Miss Fabulous, her damn Samantha Miss, won the T-Row Stakes. She also won the Flight Stakes, so Miss Fabulous right on target to emulate her mum. On then to the Kingston Town Stakes. This horse is a staying star. His name is Avelius.
Test of Shadow, Satono Racing. One Foot in Heaven gets going. Avelius stands them a big start. He'd be 8 lengths away. Classic uniform, a length clear. I Am Serious gunning it down. Brimham Rocks goes up the inside. Now Avelius is cutting loose on the outside, and here he comes. Avelius lays it down to I Am Serious and Brimham Rocks. Avelius takes the lead. Wow, another great performance. Three in a row. Avelius won it from Brimham Rocks, and I Am Serious.
Good finish for James Cummings in the Godolphin Stable. Race 8 and 9, but Avelius was the one. Now, looking forward to the Metropolitan on 29th of September as well. $2.80.
Wow, short.
Tab.com.au. Brimham Rocks at $8. Cars Off and Libran, both at $11.
I guess the only thing you'd say is a negative to Avelius is his racing pattern. He gets back and he's conceding big starts. So you always need a little bit of luck to go your way. But what he has got is an incredible turn of foot. You know, he's done a couple of sub-11-second sectionals in that race. That's a 2,000-metre race.
Wow.
So he can sustain a sprint that only very elite horses can do at shorter courses. On to Flemington yesterday. Some terrific racing down there on a Group 1 day. Team Hawks have got a terrific colt here. He's a real fighter. Lives up to his name. It's Brutal.
Down the outside is Unfair Dismissal, not a single cent, and also Farouk, and they were followed further back by the August Declaration of Heart, still second last, but winding up with Quafila. Brutal joined by Leonardo da Hinci at the 200 metres. Leonardo da Hinci and Brutal stride for stride, followed by Akadee, and Brutal's kicking back at the 100. Brutal fights from Leonardo da Hinci. Brutal and Leonardo da Hinci. Brutal has just won from Leonardo da Hinci, good and fast, for fourth a photo.
Now we've got a Donald Trump fist pump here from Ray Thomas. Clearly had a little bit of money on.
He fought hard, though. Did you see that race?
No, I didn't.
He was gone 1,000 times, Brutal.
$5 for the Caulfield Guinea. Still in the market for the run to the Rose. $11.
Golden Rose,
but doubtful.
That's next Saturday. I'm not sure what Team Hawks are playing, but I don't think that's on the radar. I think they're heading towards the Caulfield Guineas.
Caulfield Guineas, $5 favourite. Autumn Sun, $7. Graf, $9.
Yes, some good three-year-olds around. On to the Group 1 Maccabi Stakes, and all the rage prior to the race was Kementari and Humidor. Neither were in the finish.
Taj Mahal presents to the middle. Further back is Grant Kementari, five off the lead and running on from King's Will Dream, followed by Humidor back towards the inside. It's Blackheart Bart in front, but vulnerable at the 300 from Grant on the outside, chiming in now. Grant moves up, takes the lead. King's Will Dream, John Snow battles back, but it's Grant at the 150 from John Snow. King's Will Dream, Grant is clear. Grant, two lengths in front, laps up Flemington. Grant won the Group 1. King's Will Dream second, third photo, John.
So there you go, Grant wins it. Now a $13 chance for the Caulfield Cup. That's 20th of October. King's Will Dream, you're
another
impressed
good run here.
By the run of King's Will Dream. $5 favourite. Avelius, we've just spoken about. $8 second favourite.
Happy Clapper, everyone's favourite horse.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he's bled yesterday. So that's his spring campaign out. 3 month ban for him.
Yes.
Spoke to Paddy Webster late last night. He was on his way back from Melbourne. He'll give the horse a good break. Hope to bring him back in the autumn. But if there's any signs he's not the Happy Clapper of old, he'll retire him. But here's hoping we see the Clapper one more time in the autumn.
You'd love to see him. Hey, boys, found some Ron Coote playing cards for you, Ray. Please see attached photo. No better stadium than the MCG on a Boxing Day test in Bay 13. Cheers, Matt.
I've never done an MCG Boxing Day.
Me neither. Yeah. I can't believe you haven't.
I haven't had a chance.
There you go. So good on you, Matt. That's a good nomination. Coop, they're coming in. The great stadiums, the great atmospheres. Let us know. In the wake of Allianz Stadium hosting its last match next week, it's the Roosters up against the Rabbitohs in the preliminary final. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with your calls. 13:53:53. It's 25 minutes away.
Just like a champion side, vain and reduced choice. Divine Prophet won the stallion making Caulfield Guineas at three.
They come to the line together, Divine Prophet!
Now, Divine Prophet delivers with his first foals. Champion sire, champion foals. Divine Prophet, now standing at Aquas Farm.
Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL in the run to the 2018 finals. There's latest club news, expert analysis, in-depth features and statistics, and exclusive columns from the game's biggest stars, and something for even the youngest rugby league fans. Big League is your most trusted source of rugby league information, and after 99 years, we're still the only place to find official team lists for every grade. Grab this week's copy of Big League Magazine, on sale now at news agencies, supermarkets and NRL games.
Sutton City is now the home of Sydney's newest Mitsubishi dealership. Shop the entire range of Mitsubishi vehicles at Sutton City. And this month, Mitsubishi is in runout. So if you're in the market for a Mitsubishi, we have ripper deals with free fuel cards and 1.9% finance on selected models. We have plenty of on-site parking, and you'll find Sutton City on Link Road, Bentland, just off Southern Cross Drive. So come on down and meet the team at Sutton City Mitsubishi. SuttonCityMitsubishi.com.au. Conditions apply. MD14314.
The danger is in to him now, and he cuts at this. He's going to get one of those singles as it goes to backward point. He moves to 97. The crowd applauding. Oh, there's overthrows. Oh my word, that's going to run away to the boundary. It is. Cook's done it. He's reached his 100 in his final test match. What an astounding achievement for England's leading run scorer of all time.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. That was Daniel Norcross of the BBC describing Alastair Cook's century at his last innings and retiring as one of the all-time great English Test cricket batsmen, players and role models. What a fantastic achievement his career has been and how he's carried himself right through it.
33 test hundreds, that was puts him 10th on the all-time list, and he did a Greg Chappell, scored 100 in his first test and 100 in his last test, and the fact that I was lucky enough to play a round of golf with Greg Chappell the day after that.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, you've become great mates with Greg Chappell since your sleep out.
That's a stretch, but was playing golf with...
Were you in a foursome with Dougie Walters as well?
Yes.
How'd you go?
I was pinching myself. It was ridiculous. You know, you say, nice shot, Greg. Yeah, thank you. And I'm like, my father wouldn't believe what I'm doing.
Was there any nice shots, Jimmy?
No. Anyway.
Can I just get a couple of SMSs?
Yes,
quickly.
Go.
So how'd you go, by the way? Did you win or not?
It wasn't about winning.
Okay, right. Fair enough, about playing. This is from Russell from Penrith. Morning, boys. I don't follow either of the teams last night, but I thought the refereeing was woeful and that decision to penalise McInnes was disgraceful. Plus, Jimmy, your biased comments regarding Inglis are a joke. Gee, next week will be hard for you to suck up to both clubs. Russell from Penrith. The McInnes incident, when he passed the ball into Murray, like, Murray didn't make any attempt to move away from the play the ball area.
Correct.
Why was it a penalty?
Because there was a rule change during the course of the year. Now, I think that that should be play on.
Everyone thinks. Well, play on.
Play on. Play on. Because otherwise, if you give the keep giving the penalty, and this is what we saw at the start of the year.
Ah.
Remember when, who was it?
It was Milford.
It was Milford in a game. There was a player out the back, and he just turned around and threw the ball at the player. And based on the rule as it stood,
that was blatant.
He had to give a penalty.
But it was blatant. It was terrible.
Right. So during the course of the year, they changed the rule and said, no, if it's the player who's throwing the ball hits the defender in the ruck, then that's a penalty the other way. But you're quite right. Cameron Murray didn't make a move last night, but Cameron McInnes knew what he was doing.
The problem I have with your... I see where you're coming from. The problem I have with that, though, Jimmy, is you're asking referees again to interpret exactly what's happening. To me, it's cut and dried. Murray didn't move. That's it. Period. Penalty should go under St George.
So, but what if... But McInnes knew what he was doing, and he knew that...
But Murray didn't move.
But
the onus should be on him to move first.
But he knew the rule.
And so does Murray. Get out of the play the ball area. You see players roll away straight away.
So we're having two players break the rule, and now you want the referees to do one thing, and I want them to do the other.
You're asking to interpret again. Oh, who's at fault here? Let's just call play on. I reckon that's murky. The bottom line should be, it's too difficult.
Playing on takes the murkiness away from it.
So you see blokes lie in the playable area all the time then, hoping they don't get penalised. End of the day, the bottom line should be on the tackler to roll away and get away from the playable area. That should be it. That's when it all should stem from.
1353 53, we'll take your thoughts on that. Let's go to the open line now. Darren is there? Dez is there. G'day, Dez.
Hey, good morning, Jimmy. Ray, how are you?
Good morning,
really
Dez.
Well, mate.
Yeah, look, just before I talk about Winston, that decision about the penalty in the play the ball for throwing into that bloke laying in the ruck, I think what you're looking for, Jimmy, is what I'd be looking for, and you too, Ray, should be common sense.
Yeah.
And a bit of discretion, the referee in that situation. Do you notice now that if someone basically accidentally walks off the mark, they're not penalising, they stop the game and say, go back a metre and play the ball.
Yep.
So there is room to move on that sort of thing as far as I'm concerned, but you can't just have it black and white because different blokes do throw the ball at someone. And I think in McInnes, I think he had his eyes for, I think it was De Bellin. He had his eyes to try and get in the ball.
He knew where Murray was, no doubt about it at all.
Yeah. Possibly he could have stood up and thrown it over him, but I think that's been slowing their play down. So probably play on would have been the best decision in that situation. By the way, one other thing, right? Sorry, Jimmy, you played with Dougie, did you?
Yes.
Yeah. Did he have more Rothmans or strokes?
He gave up 10 years ago.
He's a champion.
He gave up 10 years ago with laser treatment. He said it's the easiest thing he's ever done.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've been at sportsman's nights with him when he used to be able to smoke in clubs, and he told me all you had to do was put beers in front of him and Rothmans, and he was happy for the whole night. It was very easy going.
Well, he talked about he's had two jobs, Des. One was with Rothmans and the other was with Tui's.
That's right. Isn't that interesting? So is that a dream life?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all he had to do, and he's the most. You wouldn't know. There is a modest man. Like he's just. He's never got the dung dog out of him, has he?
Yeah, 100% right. Yeah.
Humble champion.
Yeah. And what about when he was going for a bad streak and he'd be walking out the plane and he'd have a smoke and he'd give it to the gate plate and said, "Hold on to this, we'll be back in a minute." He's a funny man.
He's got a good take on life, hasn't he?
Quick, Dez, you better get to your points.
Okay, sorry, mate. Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm just so excited because of all the sport. Mate. First of all, on Winks, you know, I've been watching Winks a lot and I'm convinced that Winks is turning into a human. I think she's having a lend of everybody and now she's doing it to Bowman. She seems to hit a flat spot and then she goes bang.
It is phenomenal to watch, isn't it, Dez? Even Hughie made mention that yesterday. She just seems to know when she has to go.
And you know something? Laura Main is no slouch and... Laura Main, I think, won three group ones,
and
a million times played.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what the week's now. With the footy, I thought St George was so brave. And you know something? It was a shame. Hunt had a real go last night.
Of course he did.
It was a shame of that last play. But I actually believe the game, they had it won until Tarek Sims got injured.
he was a loss. Yeah.
When he got injured, and they even, you know what they tried to do? He's so brave that Lockie was set on at half time. They tried to put a needle in it. I mean, it was clearly gone.
Yeah.
I mean, how the Bellin played, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
They didn't have Willett. No, I mean, they were absolutely incredible. And in a way, I wish they'd have won. I follow them. I had a big bet on them with 13-0 start. I couldn't believe the start. I thought that was ridiculous in the semi-final.
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, I think that the real bad performances they put in, especially that one against the Bulldogs, after Lance Thompson had died that week, all is forgiven because I hate the Broncos. They smashed the Broncos.
Des, tell you what.
It's a good call from Des. I tell you
no,
what,
it is.
No,
it is a good
though.
Call. It's a bloody long call. But anyway, good
put
one,
down.
Des. All right.
We've got Darren on the line. Darren, good morning.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Hey, terrific, Darren.
Wow. I can't believe we got out of that game last night. And to think Adam Reynolds kicked 3 field goals.
Oh, extraordinary.
That was just incredible. But I believe at training, when they practice the field goals, he has the Burgess boys charging at him. So obviously, you know, the practice has paid off there. And Cameron Murray, another great game from him. And how important
player,
was the one-on-one steal?
Massive.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. And the other question I want to ask you, Jimmy, is late in the game there, Sutton got tackled a metre out in the corner.
Yes.
Can you tell me why the Dragons were allowed to play the ball 10 metres out?
They ruled it a knock-on.
Yeah, it just a little bubble, wasn't
they
it?
They ruled it a knock-on. You could see John
but
Sutton remonstrate. That they say that Sutton dropped the ball
little bubble.
In the tackle because that was a big play, wasn't it? Because usually it's a turnover, to understand the rule, turnover right on that spot, so a metre out from the line.
Yep.
The referee said, no, you've dropped the ball in the tackle. As a result of that, we come out 10 metres. It's amazing to think that 9 metres was going to be so important.
Well, it could have been because, you know, it could have put him closer for that field goal. But with the pass from dummy half, beginners should have known better. They've changed that rule. So, you know, why would you even risk it?
Yeah, that's right. He knew the rule. Good on you, Darren. I'll put you down for a couple of asterisks. By the way, Des didn't get an asterisk.
Yeah, last player to kick 3 field goals in a game.
Jason Taylor.
You nailed it. Last player to do it in a final.
Jason Taylor.
No, in the actual final.
Oh, Grant. It was in a finals game, wasn't it?
Was it
North Sydney against the Roosters.
A tweet from Gerald Milton last night. He said Jason Taylor did it in 97. The last player to do it in a final was Eric Sims, South, 71. I could have that wrong. I'll check it again.
Oh, well, I thought that one with Jason Taylor was against the Roosters in the semi-final at Allianz Stadium.
97?
Which is the stadium we're talking about. Yeah, there we go. 13-53-53, the open line number. Madison Square Garden, 1971. Ali Frazier, the fight of the century. 14 years old with my father. Stadium was electric when they faced off in the ring. Vietnam War stopped to watch the fight. Mark from Mollymook. Cheers.
It's a winner.
Hard to beat. Hard to beat.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Responsibly.
50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until November 2022 at Harvey Norman. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum finance amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 50 months interest free available now in store and online. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until November 2022. 50 months interest free at Harvey Norman.
Another quick success story about radio. A bakery made the tastiest sausage rolls. Anyone who tried them loved them.
Oh, scrummy.
But when they advertised, they just looked like every other. So they turned to radio, the medium Aussies trust most. So when real Aussies heard real people reacting to them, they believed the sausage rolls were as tasty,
scrummy,
like herby, as they sounded, and tried them for themselves, which tripled sales, achieving a campaign ROI of 500%.
Scrummy.
And it was all thanks to radio. Alive with taste, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Listen.
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Terrific racing yesterday, as I mentioned earlier, Jimmy, at Randwick and Flemington. Chris Lees was involved with both. He won with Miss Fabulous in the T Row Stakes in Sydney and with Smart Melody in a stakes race in Melbourne. And Le Romain was second to the great mare Winks. Chris Lees has been good enough to join us on the line. Chris, good morning. And overall, a pretty fair day for the stable, but in particular, Miss Fabulous. She was just that yesterday. Chris, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Yeah, it was very pleasing to see her. Race right up to what we've expected of her for a while.
Did something happen at the 900 metres? I was watching the replay a couple of times and she seemed to get a check or go backwards at the 900. Chris, and I don't know whether that impacted on the race pattern that you were hoping to carry out.
Oh, Jim, I'd say it's just her. She's a little bit aggressive, and Kieran, we purposely wanted to ride her with a bit of cover. She just wants to go a little keen in everything that she does, and I'd say he was just trying to get her back under him as she was just that little bit aggressive at that part of the race when the speed slackened a touch.
Yeah, right. She's got a good sidestep, which she showed in the straight too, get into that gap.
Yeah, there wasn't much of a run there. A terrific ride from Kieran. Mm.
Chris, Samantha Miss, still the best horse you've trained, but you said yesterday something that interested me, that this filly, Miss Fabulous, her daughter, has got pretty similar natural ability. She just has to learn to harness it.
She does, yeah. She's just still learning what it's all about, whereas the mum was pretty bonkers. She could take up the running on speed or get back, and she didn't have too many chinks to her arm, whereas this filly, as I said before, she's a bit aggressive and she just needs to harness that a little in the early stages, but she's improving each week. Malcolm, my foreman, who rides her every day, he's getting good results with her, and she's going the right way.
Is there a bit of emotion around the fact that, you know, you did train her mother and now you've got another very good filly coming through, Chris?
Yeah, there is, Jimmy. Very much so. Yeah. We're pretty chuffed just to get her to train, to be honest. Mm. I thought we were very honoured when she turned up, you know, being by Frankel out.
Yeah.
Probably the best horse I've trained. And then to see her win a Group 2 race that her mother did win 10 years ago, showing you we're all getting a bit older, but it was certainly... Yeah, it was a little bit emotional, yeah.
Mm. Chris, obviously the flight stakes next. We've got one of our listeners has SMS'd in. This is from Herb. Will Miss Fabulous go to Melbourne for the Spring Carnival after the flight stakes?
Possibly, but I wouldn't be betting in any of the early markets just yet. I think once she gets to the flight stakes, she could go to the paddock. We'll just see how she comes through.
This is the first prep, isn't it? So.
Well, she had that one run.
Back in the autumn, yeah.
Back in the summer, but she's been pretty lightly raced.
And another question from the same listener, Herb. When will In Her Time step out?
Yeah, she'll barrow trial Wednesday, and then she'll resume in the Premier Stakes a fortnight yesterday.
Okay. Smart Melody, she was terrific yesterday, Chris. Up the straight the first time, horses all around her, plenty of pressure on. But the further that race went, the stronger and better and more dominant she became.
Yeah, it's really good to see her be so strong through the line. She's... she'd never been further than 1,100 metres yet, but the way she reacted late in the race and was really quite dominant. Holds some good stead now that we're going to 1,400 in a fortnight.
Mm. At the 200, maybe the 250, I thought, Le Romain's going to beat Winks here. I think the margin ended up about 4 or 5 lengths. I don't know how that happened. But, Chris, what were you thinking at the time? I thought it was the first time that we'd seen Winks this preparation put under a fair bit of pressure.
Yeah, she just does that, doesn't she? I think in a lot of her races, just for that split second you think she's in trouble, then the fact she just puts 4 lengths on high-quality horses and beats them so comfortably. I was looking just a minute ago, looking at his intel of the race. He broke 34 his last 600 himself, but she's just so dominant and she can sustain it for so long. So I haven't seen anything like it.
No, exactly. But he was great yesterday, Chris, so... Any phone calls overnight from Everest slot holder Max Whitby and Neil Werrett? Because I know you still like to go to the Everest. There's also obviously the Epsom, which looks the immediate goal.
Yeah, look, they're in the driving seat. You know, there's one slot left, so they can sit back and wait. And look, he'd be competitive whatever we go in, so we'll work that out deeper into the week.
Fantastic day yesterday, Chris. Well done. Really appreciate your time this morning, and good luck and see what happens with Le Romain moving forward to the Everest.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Chris.
There he is, Chris Lee. He's always good with his time, and we do appreciate it.
Strong teams.
I tell you what, Whitby and Werrett have put themselves in the best position to negotiate
With what's left,
the best possible terms.
So remember themselves.
Yeah. But there's not even the second slot holder that can make things difficult for them. They will cut the best deal for themselves. The horse may not win, but they will cut an outstanding deal.
There are a couple in front of Moa, who's starting to close in strongly. Mighty Lucky, the inside goes well. Then Duke of Valentinwa on Supply and Demand. Fabrizio's trying to come back on Royal Tudor, but Duke of Valentinwa's letting down. God's in him up the fence, but Duke of Valentinwa's drawn clear in the cup from God's in him. Then Pajaro rattling home, but Duke of Valentinwa's got them beaten. Duke of Valentinwa won the cup.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Joe Pride on the line, but just before we get there, our talk topic today, Jimmy and Ray, on the hill at the SCG 1977 World Series night final, Australia v the West Indies. How good is that? And 1981, Newtown v Parramatta Grand Final. Outstanding performances and different but sensational electric atmospheres. Marcus from Canberra.
Both great memories, yeah. I think this man had a good day yesterday. Ball of Muscle wins the shorts and his beloved South Sydney get up last night. Trainer Joe Pride on the line. Joe, good morning. And, well, firstly, Ball of Muscle, how has he pulled up? And any phone calls from the Everest slot holders, Joe?
Yeah, look, really well. I'm just sort of focusing at this point on his next run, which will be in the Moya, a race we've very specifically targeted. And I guess I see it as possibly a pathway for this horse. Most people have their slots sort of locked away, but we could get into those 2 weeks before the race, and there might be someone looking for a horse. But as I say, my focus is more on the Moya, as has always been planned to be his peak run, and it's nice when you can win lead-ups to your peak run.
Invincible Star finishing strongly. Ball of Muscle, will the 1200 be okay for Ball of Muscle, Joe?
Yeah, he's been quite effective at 1200 before. He's won several group races at that distance. It's probably more about when you look at horses like this, it's more about pressure of races and different tracks and that they can go around. But he's very strong at 1200 metres. But this Moya back to 1000 is lovely for him, because he's going into it rock hard, and he'll run it at a pretty frantic tempo, and that'll get a lot of horses out of their comfort zone for sure.
Joe, Terra Vista, Tiger Tees, now Ball of Muscle, all out of the same damn par four. They've all had this remarkable trait of racing on at the top level as 8-year-olds. Gee, they've been great horses of the stable. And what's the key to them?
Yeah, the weakness in them, and it's funny you speak about weaknesses probably before keys, but it has been their feet with all the three horses.
Yeah.
And that's probably what stopped them from racing early, but also it's kept their racing careers extended out, because you lightly do it every preparation, but also they don't end up having a lot of starts for the age that they are. But they're fantastic horses, the three of them. This bloke's kind of starting to catch up to his brothers now, and I doubt any of them could get to the level that Terra Vista did in terms of his peak runs. He had a really freakish turn of foot. But these other two full brothers, Tiger and Cub, as I call him, Full of Muscle, they've got amazing speed and a good will to win as well.
Hey, Joe, it's an interesting situation, isn't it? And we were just talking about it, the fact that Max Whitby and Neil Werrett have the final slot, and $13 million race, everyone wants to have a chance to sit at the table, and that would then mean a bit of a change for your preparation. But because there's only the one slot, they can cut the deal that they want. Does that then make you think that, well, look, I'll train Ball of Muscle for my program, and if the other happens, then all well and good?
Yeah, look, I mean, if we were to be approached, it's a very public thing that everybody knows what's going on, if we were to be approached before the Moya and someone potentially wanted to cut a deal, certainly that's not off the table. But as I say, my main focus has been all preparation, getting him ready for the Moya. Anything that happens in and around that will be a bonus. I'd love to make this horse the the third Group 1 winner of the brothers I've had. And I see that Moyer is the ideal race for him to do that. He ran second to Buffering in the race, it has to be 3 or 4 years ago now. And to push Buffering to a neck around the valley over 1,000 metres is no mean feat. So he's definitely well suited in a Moyer Stakes.
Great weekend for the stable too. New Tipperary wins the Cameron Handicap on Friday at Newcastle. Joe, and dare say he's right on song now for the Epsom.
Yeah, really special win that, because you've been out of the winner's circle a long time, and it's my son Brave's favourite horse, and it was just really, really great to be able to get him back in the winner's circle for him. I know it's like a funny thing, but it was. He's been a horse who has got really good ability, but when they lose their winning way, these horses, they're hard to get back in there. And, you know, to have him running in the Epsom and Ball of Muscle running in a Moyer in 2 weeks' time, you know, if I could have signed off on that at the start of these two horses' preparations, you know, it's almost unbelievable to have these two horses in the position that they're now in. And that's, you know, that's a fluke. It's a lot of hard work from my team here, a lot of planning, and some very understanding owners who very much leave the training and placing of the horses to me, and that makes my job so much easier.
Fair game last night, Joe.
Was, wasn't it? It was exciting. It's funny thing. I'm quite often, as any of my friends know, I'm always the one to sort of stir things up, but when we got behind that game, I couldn't bring myself, when we got back, couldn't bring myself to ring or texting the St. George fans, because it's a gut-wrenching feeling when you get knocked out, and I felt like we were gone. So I'll leave it a couple of days. Don't worry, Jimmy. I'll be stirring the pot, but I just wanted to just let it settle first. But it was a bizarre game, you know. St. George looked rudderless in the last little bit, and I felt sorry for them, because, you know, they didn't have that natural leader out there. I think if it would have been there, he probably would have got them over the line. But, you know, it's what semi-finals are all about, and I just know that we're going to be so much better next week. And we'll find something extra against different oppositions. And horses are a bit like that as well, you know. They can't produce the same performances week in, week out. And I can't get away from the team I saw play Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. If we can sort of get back to that form, plus a little bit more, then they can win the grand final. I'm not saying they will, but they can.
Yeah. Great to see you showing your human side too, Joe. And when you do send the text to Ray Thomas, just send it on Tuesday or Wednesday and get stuck right into it.
Good on you, Joe. Hey, Joe, congratulations. Great weekend for the stable. Great weekend with your rabbits. And let's hope you have more success during the spring carnival.
Perfect. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
There he is, Joe Pride, Ball of Muscle, a good winner for him yesterday. Time now for the scratchings around New South Wales. We say good morning for the first time to Tanya.
Good morning, all. Racing in New South Wales today is at Dubbo and Taree. We'll start with Dubbo. The weather is fine. The track are good for the rail. True penetrometer 3.8 and 26 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Start at race 2, take out 1, Algaroba, 6, Dreadlock, 14, Burning Crown, and 18, Fourth Protocol. 1, 6, 14, and 18. Race 3, number 3, OY. 5, Little Bertie. 11, All Ellie. And 18, Silk Topper. 3, 5, 11, and 18. Race 4, number 8, Southern Strategy. 16, Got the Tickets. 17, Passionate Prince. And 18, El Rey Dorado. 8, 16, 17, and 18. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, take out 15, Nordic Noir. 16, Net Effect. 17, Griffin's Gaze. And 18, Bonnie Saar. 15, 16, 17, and 18. Race 7, number 13, I Am Dynamic. 14, Marine Corps. 15, Mr. De Niro. And 16, Did You Hear Me? 13, 14, 15, and 16. Out of race 8, number 2, Sir Barb. 6, All But Gone. 13, Maribel, and 18, Mr. Marmalade. 2, 6, 13, and 18. And race 9, number 7, True Worth. And 18, Apeo Rose. 7 and 18 from race 9 at Dubbo. Over to Taree, the weather is windy. The track are good for the rail out 2 metres the entire circuit and 27 scratchings. To race 1, take out 5, Miss Fraser, and 10, Circuit. 5 and 10. Race 2, number 1, Stavino. 3, As a Rose. And 9, Miss Bojangles. 1, 3 and 9. Out of race 3, number 1, Magic Ray. 14, One Chai. 15, Clarence Town. And 16, Vagabonds Rap. 1, 14, 15, 16. Race 4, number 8, Golden Shoulder. 14, Legit. 15, Dangan Resha. And 16, Trefrenian. 8, 14, 15, and 16. Race 5, number 12, Candy Girl. 14, Marhervilus. 15, Splash of Lime, and 16, Ginger Island. 12, 14, 15, 16. Race 6, number 3, Beside You. 12, God I'm Hot. 15, Cavallo, and 16, Yankee Roller. 3, 12, 15, and 16. Race 7, number 13, Yamba Prince. 14, Wonderful Thing, and 15, Cithali. 13, 14, and 15 from race 7. And race 8, number 6, Big Red. 14, She Clangs, and 15, All About Magic. 6, 14, and 15 from race 8 at Taree.
She had some tongue twisters there, Tanny.
I did some practice beforehand.
Plowed through them. A couple of tips today. Dubbo, race 5, number 3, Art to More, very hard to beat. Down to race 9, number 3, Shadow Flight, each way. And just the one tip at Taree today, in race 7, number 4, Sipay.
All right, we will put those out on social media as well, and we'll better get to the news. We're running a little bit late today. After that, we'll speak to Zorba, and we're also going to catch up with Chris Waller after the 27th straight win of the Super Mare Winks.
I'm Sarah Warmby. US President Donald Trump has issued a disaster declaration for North Carolina as officials warn the state could experience its most severe flooding ever. The BBC's Laura Trevelyan is in North Carolina.
We're getting 2 to 3 inches an hour in some parts of North Carolina. Cape Fear River, which is already breaking its banks at high tide, is getting more and more rainfall dumped onto it, and this is being replicated across parts of North and South Carolina as this very slow-moving, enormous storm just dumps rain on us. So now there is this risk of catastrophic flooding. And we just heard that more people are at risk now than they were when the storm hadn't even made landfall.
More than 500 flights have been cancelled at one of the world's busiest airports as Hong Kong prepares for Typhoon Mangkhut after it lashed the Philippines. A senior Oxfam official in the Philippines, Filio Quiso, has told the ABC in the north of Luzon there's been a lot of damage.
A lot of damage to infrastructure, power outages, roads that are impassable, flooding, landslide. We also know that because of the very strong winds and very heavy rains, there will be a lot of losses in terms of agriculture.
Japan has failed in its bid to overturn a 32-year ban on commercial whaling in a win for the Australian government and conservationists. The International Whaling Commission has rejected the proposal from Japan, which argued whale populations had recovered sufficiently. The vote was defeated 41 to 27 on Friday after a five-day meeting in Brazil. Australia has been one of Japan's biggest critics on the issue and was one of just 3 countries out of the total 75 nations present to send a ministerial representative to the conference in Brazil. The search for evidence at the former home of missing Sydney woman Lynette Dawson will continue today and early into the week. Miss Dawson was 33 when she disappeared from the northern beaches in 1982, leaving behind 2 daughters. Investigators started to dig on Wednesday at Miss Dawson's Old Bayview home, where she was living with her husband, Chris Dawson, who has long been a suspect in the case. The former Newtown Jets rugby league player denies any involvement in his wife's disappearance. A 77-year-old man has died after his car collided with a road barrier in northern Tasmania. Emergency services were called to the scene on Wilmot Road 4th yesterday morning about 11:30, where they found the 77-year-old man dead. Tasmanian police say their initial investigation indicated the driver lost control of his vehicle and that slippery conditions contributed to the crash. 2 boys have threatened and robbed a taxi driver on the Gold Coast. Police say the 39-year-old taxi driver picked up the pair at Paradise Point at about 1:30 this morning and drove them to a Hope Island service station. One boy claimed they had weapons and demanded money from the driver. Officers from the dog squad later found the 2 boys aged 13 and 17. Also in news, a memorial has been held in Perth at the Swan River for 2 teenagers who drowned after a police chase. And a 21-year-old man is in custody after a Victorian police officer was hit by a car and killed while taking part in a group ride to commemorate police who died in the line of duty. This is Air News. The rain gods have delivered new life into the Supercars title race with three of Shane van Gisbergen's top title contenders to start from the front two rows at the Sandown 500. Reigning Bathurst champions David Reynolds and Luke Yeldon won pole on a wild and windy day in Melbourne ahead of the fast finishing pair of Jamie Wincup and Paul Dumbrell. Reynolds says it was a crazy day.
Things organically happened today and we kind of benefited from it. But yeah, that last couple of laps there, my tyres, my rear tyres were sort of going off and I was struggling a bit, and Jamie was a lot faster than me, so I'm, yeah, ever so grateful to have pole.
Australia have slumped to their first home loss to Argentina in 35 years, falling 23-19 in last night's Rugby Championship Test. Not since 1983 in the first Test meeting between the two nations has Argentina tasted victory on Australian soil. The Wallabies now travel to Port Elizabeth to play the Springboks, who beat the All Blacks 36-34 in Wellington. In the NRL, South Sydney beat St George Illawarra 13-12 at ANZ Stadium last night in front of a crowd of just over 48,000 to set up a preliminary final against the Sydney Roosters. And injury-plagued GWS veteran Ryan Griffin has called time on his AFL career following the Giants' semi-final loss to Collingwood. Griffin broke the news to his teammates in the rooms after their season ended with a 10-point loss to the Pies. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Grigio. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The Caravan Camping Outdoor Lifestyle Expo starts September 20 for four big days at Sydney Olympic Park. Look for your free copy of the official show guide in today's Sunday Telegraph. In Concord, we've got a crash on Parramatta Road at Broughton Street. Two of three eastbound lanes are closed, and various roads are closed around Milton's Point, the City, Pyrmont, Darlinghurst and Moore Park due to the running festival this morning. That includes the Harbour Bridge and Carl Expressway. The next round of Michelle Bridges' 12-week body transformation starts Monday. Members have lost nearly 2 million kilos, and now it's your turn. Join today at 12wbt.com. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Breeding for speed.
But all jukebox. Here's another really impressive two-year-old winner.
Jukebox arrives at Aquas Farm. Undefeated at two. Bursting with early colonial speed by that speed sire schnitzel. To breed your jukebox hero, see aquasfarm.com.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, cool day, winds easing, it'll be a sunny Sunday, top temperature of 17 degrees. James, what's the current temperature at Tremoyne and the forecast for Dubbo on Dubbo Gold Cup Day?
Tremoyne presently 12 degrees, so much cooler than yesterday. And out at Dubbo for Michelle and the team there, and of course for Harry and Megan when they turn up, maximum temperature of 17 degrees and a sunny day.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Hope you're having a really good start to your Sunday. Second hour coming up now. Zorba very shortly. Chris Waller as well, following the 27th straight victory of Winx. Can you believe it?
Event Get Cinemas. Your head around that. 27 in a row. Yeah.
Event Cinemas quiz. Score update?
2016, you've got a winning lead, I'm tipping, James.
And, of course, Team Bulldog Richie with all the latest in the world of rugby league. And, of course, taking your calls, 1353-53, lots to discuss today. Does Greg Inglis have a concern leading into this big match at Allianz Stadium next week, the preliminary final against the Roosters? You say yes, I say not so much. But, anyway, if he gets a grade one, he'll still be fine.
Yep, that's the key. No carryover points.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll do some scores. We can update here for Panthers. Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time for a member of the Panther, to become a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $100 worth of rewards. Details at panthers.com.au or call 1300-PANTHERS. Sharks 21-20 over the Penrith Panthers on Friday. Rabbitohs 13-12, three field goals for Adam Reynolds and a try and three goals for Adam Reynolds over the Dragons. And in the NRLW matches, the Broncos 14 defeated the Roosters 4 on Friday night, and then the Dragons 22 defeated the Warriors 10 last night. The Broncos are into the final, and then it's the Roosters, the Dragons and the Warriors all playing to see who will get into that final match. And then of course, we've got a couple of other scores there. The Wallabies beaten 23-19 by the Pumas. And the Springboks, yes, that's right. Glenn Schofield, stop texting Ray Thomas. We will mention the rugby. The Springboks 36, the All Blacks 34. That score update all brought to you by Panthers. Become a member today at panthers.com.au. You've got something, Roman?
Oh, yeah. John Kamarondi, the Seagulls, written in. How appropriate with the scratchings today, because Tanya, you are hot. Also, when is Mossy back from holiday? Well, I'm batting way above average, I know that. But anyway, Mossy will be back on the show soon, won't he?
Oh, will he? Try to ensure that doesn't happen.
EPL segment.
By the sounds of things, he went very well. Zorba is back on the show. We get him every week. It'll be interesting to hear his thoughts on what were two outstanding games of rugby league and, of course, all the other news that's going on in and around the game. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
Wow. What about those two games? As you mentioned, 2 1-point thrillers, and then there were four of those four were the top four at the end of the Premiership. So
yep.
It's Storm versus Sharks on Friday night, Souths versus the Roosters on Saturday, and massive, massive advantage to the Storm and the Roosters, courtesy of the week off. Both the losers, the Panthers and the Dragons, are going to limp into next weekend. Both the losers, the Panthers and the Dragons, were brave in defeat. But those winners, Souths and Sharks, are going to limp into the games next weekend. They're badly wounded.
Storm v Sharks is an interesting one. Sharks don't fear the Storm down in Melbourne. They've had success previously. But can they do it without Paul Gallen and maybe Luke Lewis?
Well, I don't think they can, because they've already got Wade Graham on the sideline. So that's half of their pack, the most experienced players in their pack, and I wouldn't think that they'd be able to survive what fresh Melbourne will throw at them. And it's all fallen into place for the Melbourne Storm after this weekend. And of course, we've got the possibility that neither Latrell Mitchell or Greg Inglis will play in that great game that's going to come up between South Sydney and the Roosters on Saturday.
Well, what was your take on the English tackles, Orb?
I didn't think it was all that bad. I think the referee handled it right, appropriately. He doesn't have any carryover points, so that's got to be taken into account. And I think Jimmy mentioned that if he gets a grade one, he'll play, and I think that's what they'll do.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised at that. Adam Reynolds has played Origin, didn't play this year. Nathan Cleary did, based on the games that we've seen. You've got to throw Chad Townsend into the mix on this one, who was outstanding. But Adam Reynolds is probably an underappreciated player throughout the whole competition, Zorb.
Well, they both are. I was going to say this morning that he rarely rates a mention when it comes to star halfbacks in the NRL, but the Sharks, Chad Townsend, he's consistently been up with the best players every week and the best halfbacks in the competition. Never to mention, I thought he finished well ahead of the Blues half, Nathan Cleary. He's a good front runner, and as he showed against the Panthers, he's good in the clutch, and Adam Reynolds has been around a long time. Field goals in the 69th, 77th, 79th minute. He's the best field goal exponent under pressure in the NRL. He just rarely misses, and his balance last night was just fantastic to see. And he's a South Sydney player through and through, a terrific little fellow. Scored a great try, scored all their points. He's going to be a key factor in however far Souths go, whether it's next week or the grand final.
How do you see next week's game against the Roosters, Saul? Because the Rabbitohs certainly had a lot of external issues to deal with in the days leading up to last night's game. They've got through that, 13-12, we know. They've scrambled home, but they've got through. A club can use that as a galvanising force now, can't they?
I don't know if they can use this as a galvanising force. This is something that has come at them hard. and it's not going to go away. I think they'll handle it as well as any club could handle it. But there was a huddle there last night. I don't know what they're talking about next week's game. I think there were a few thank yous coming from one Sam Burgess to his teammates who got at least 80 minutes without having... imagine what he's going through. I'm not qualified to talk about it, but I can just imagine. I know he's fairly strong with his family, and I just imagine what he's going through. But then, of course, what is that young woman over in New Zealand going through? So I've got to think of her in this situation. It's awful, and I hope it's resolved fairly quickly.
Could the club have done anything differently? You know, there's all sorts of talk about the emails received and not received and spam, and did they get onto it early enough, Zorb?
I just think when it's anonymous, you tend to think, well, you know, why don't you put your name to this? That would have been my immediate thoughts had it come across my desk. I would have wanted it to be, I would have wanted to know who I was talking to in a situation like that rather than answering emails to someone that's got anonymous on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Women's League games, pretty exciting games yesterday.
You were calling one last night.
Yep.
And I was looking at that game thinking, this is fantastic. There's something missing. And it was a great opportunity missed by the NRL last night. And why wouldn't the head body instruct the Ref Appointments Board to give at least one game to a female whistleblower? It's a no-brainer. Mm. And it should happen in the women's grand final in 2 weeks. But we know it won't. I mean, the women would embrace the challenge. We've got two perfectly good referees in Casey Badger and Belinda Sleeman who didn't get sidelines during the weekend in the NRL. So why not use one of them in one of these showcase games? I mean, are we promoting women or are we stifling them? I mean, when are these women going to get a go? I mean, they're good referees. They've served their time. And I certainly didn't see anything from the men who refereed the games this weekend that should warrant that they were so good and crash hot to get the game. Come on, NRL, give them a go.
Can't argue, Zorb.
I'm actually going to support you on that.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you. They are very competent officials. Belinda Sleeman and Casey Badger.
Todd Greenberg could step in and say, guys, you're not doing your job. This is the appointments board. We want a female referee to be given an opportunity. Here's the opportunity. Grand final, their first grand final. Let's make it historic and have a female referee.
Yeah, by the way, whilst he's at it, stepping in there, put Matt Checken in and give him a game as well.
That'd help.
He seems to be completely on the outer.
Left, right out.
Referees. I thought Ashley Klein and Adam G were far better than the Gerard Sutton-Ben Cummings combination.
Sutton,
to me, stifles his co-referee. Ben Cummings, been a top referee for a long time. He looks mute in games now, teamed up with Sutton. He doesn't seem to have any confidence, doesn't do anything. And it's Sutton. And there were some decisions last night that I'm sure left the fans at home and at the game absolutely perplexed.
No, so I was perplexed at home. I know that for a fact. Hey, just before we get some tips from you, Zorb, a couple of things. Ron Coote is our legend of the game. You would have played against the legendary Ron Coote. What was he like as a competitor?
Oh, awfully hard to tackle. He was all angles and bones and, you know, 6'4" or whatever he is and could run very, very fast and great in cover defence. No, you knew you were in a game of football when you played Ronnie Coote. I mean, the two great blocks that I played against in that era were, of course, the great Johnny Raper and Ron Coote, and they were just Coote was the one coming through at the time. Raper was the star lock forward and player in the game, and they were very special. But Ronnie Coote, great player, great person, and people forget that he was the first franchisee for McDonald's in Australia.
Yes.
And it was at Newtown, his first store, and showed a lot of enterprise in business. A wonderful man, great player, and I don't use that word loosely. You knew you were in a game of football if Ron Coote was on the other side.
Mm. Absolutely. And you got a coach at Manly yet, or what's happening there?
I'm not sure. It looks like there's a Mexican standoff at the moment with some... something's got to happen with Trent Barrett and the club. I'm not sure when it'll happen, but I would imagine it's got to happen sooner rather than later.
So hang on, just let me clarify that. You're not sure what's going on there.
No, I honestly, on that score, I'm not. I'm not across it. I like Trent as a person. I don't want to be involved, but it certainly needs fixing.
Well, the club's signing players. They're making appointments on staff, and players and staff's leaving, but...
We'll worry about that. Hey, Zorba, he's answered the question. What do you want him to say?
Well, he didn't answer the question. He just said he doesn't know. That's right. So that's not strictly answering the question as far as he's concerned. Anyway, Zorb, Melbourne v Cronulla next week on Friday. Sydney Roosters versus South on Saturday. Who's your tips?
Oh, I've got to go with the two sides that were rested.
Yeah.
I think the other two sides are so wounded, it's not funny. South can play better than they played last night. They're going to have to. Let's remember that they both went down narrowly in last weekend and could easily have had the rest, but didn't get it. And now they've got to front up, and I don't think they can. I just think that the two rested sides will be too good, even without Latrell Mitchell. I think the Roosters can win. And what a cruel game our game is. You know, within 7 days, we've seen Tarek Sims 3 tries a week ago today in a brilliant win over the Broncos and on fire. His form was just outstanding and probably could have led him to an Australian jersey in a couple of weeks' time. And at the end of last night's game, seeing him so crestfallen at the loss and on touches, off after 40-odd minutes of the game, it can take you to the highs and give you the lows pretty much pretty quickly this game.
It's a roller coaster, no doubt about it. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week. We'll know our grand finalists. Mm.
We certainly will, and I think it's going to be that game between Storm and the Roosters, the one that it'll be Sydney versus Melbourne.
Oh, how good. How good. Good on you, mate. We'll see you next week.
See you, boys.
See you, mate. There he is, Peter Peters. Get your thoughts on that. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break now, 24 minutes past 8.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au.
Nobody has your back like family, so you know Penrith Mazda will look after you. Get the Mazda 3 Neo Sport, the car of choice. Drive away from just $21,490 and get 3 years, 45,000 kilometre free servicing on selected BT50 models. Plus, all new Mazdas get 5 years unlimited kilometre warranty. Penrith Mazda, your 2017 Mazda master dealer. Family owned and operated at Mulgoa Road, Penrith. MD18808.
But away she goes now, Winx, in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. She's put 2 lengths on Hartnell. The Nexus Ferry, sense of occasion. She's racing royalty this mare. There's 17 in a row. The grandstand shaking. She wins it by about 4.5 to Hartnell.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jim and Ray. We just heard a call from Winx winning 17 in a row. Well, yesterday she made it 27 in a row. It's just mind-boggling stuff. And her trainer, Chris Waller, is on the line this morning. Chris, can you get your head around 27 in a row? Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. No, not really. It's a lot of races. It's as simple as that. It's a bit different to a footy player when you've got 27 games. I don't know if you're winning every one for 27 games of the season, but they're sort of 3-4 weeks apart, and you have, a gap of 6 months when she has an off time between runs. And it's just been, it's over, a 3.5 year period. The build up to each race is just as intense as the one before, especially probably since the number 10, the expectations there. Everything's just got to go right. You can't afford a sore foot. You can't afford a sniffly nose, a bad back, an off day. it's pretty common over 3.5 years for us to have one of those. So, yeah, this horse does, I don't know, and, you know, I keep shaking my head, really.
And that's the thing, Chris, isn't it? None of these wins are first-round wins at the Virginia Slims tournament. It puts it to the second round. They're all grand finals. I just thought at the 250, maybe even the 200, I thought, gee, Huey's making a lot of movement and shook her up a little bit. And then somehow in the space of about 5 lengths, she's 4 lengths in front. Did you feel that she was under pressure at a stage during the race?
I do every time she runs, I say, oh, is it going to be today or is it not, or how is she travelling? The fact is, and I heard a lot of people say exactly what you said yesterday, fact is she won't beat a horse until the final pressure comes on in a race. And
right.
Unfortunately, it's not until the pressure part of the race, which naturally is the last 100 metres. Mm. So we can't expect her to be just bolting, and well, she does obviously travel so well, but we can't expect it to be winning the races at the 400 yet they start, and it's not until that final bit of pressure goes on in the race. So yeah, I sit there with bated breath waiting for that last 100 metres each and every time, and before that there's always concerns, as there was yesterday, but geez, to see her rocket away the last part, you say, what was I overthinking?
No, it's pretty special. About. Yeah, it's pretty special to watch, isn't it, Chris? Chris, you said something yesterday which stuck in my mind. Look, when she's racing this top level and running the times that she does, you would think she's absolutely flat out and bottoming out, but she's winning with something in reserve, which is extraordinary, and that's helping her to get over her races quicker than sort of mere horses could do.
Yeah, it has to be. So she's not putting her body under the ultimate pressure. Because horses don't, they go to the limits, and it takes its toll, and after a while they'll say, oh, gee, their body language will show that they're ready to have a holiday or ready to stop racing, or they're no longer racing at that elite level. Mm-hmm. So she could only be doing it by the fact that she's enjoying it so much. And you'll only enjoy something thing if it's not hurting, if you're not under pressure, and you want to turn up to work the next morning enjoying it. And that's exactly what she's doing. And it can only be because she's enjoying the racing so much and not under that ultimate pressure. So I think that also, that extra 10% that she's got, gets her out of a lot of trouble and enables her to quicken when she may look beaten or come from well back. So she's quite unique. And you don't get a chance to sit down and analyse all the races and say why this, that, or why is she so good? But the fact is, she is. She just keeps doing it.
Mm. 5 weeks and 6 days' time, WS Cox Plate going for an incredible fourth straight victory, $1.30 at tab.com.au. What happens in between, Chris?
She has to get to Melbourne at some stage, so there's always an element of risk with just travelling horses. They're on a truck for about 10 hours. Mm. They find it safer than even flying and putting them on a truck that they're used to and things like that. So that has to be done at some stage, and they take a few days to get over that. It's not as simple as us getting on a bus or a train. So we're going to have another run before that as well. I'd love to keep her in Sydney, but the fact is, right timing type of race would be either the Turnbull or the Caulfield Stakes. Caulfield Stakes is only 2 weeks before the Cox Plate, so if something went wrong, you're sort of on back foot if you miss that run. So it's safer to run a 3 weeks between runs. 3 weeks before the Cox Plate. 3 weeks before in Sydney, there's no suitable race.
Right.
We're going to keep in Sydney. It'd have to be 4 weeks, which would be 2 weeks from today, and then you're getting a bit too far away from the Cox Plate, so it would most likely be Turnbull. And, let's just hope she hasn't had a last run in Sydney and there's been no talk of it. The owners, myself or Hugh, haven't discussed retirement. And no doubt that would be the first matter of discussion at the end of this preparation, wherever it may be. Because she's got nothing left to prove, but while she's fit and so well, We haven't had to talk about it yet.
Mm. That's a key, isn't it, Chris? She's enjoying her racing. They're a long time retired, aren't they? So, and she's obviously loving it. Chris, she stole the show yesterday like she always does, but if I could ask you quickly, you had 4 second place getters, though I thought all ran particularly well. Another dollar was unlucky, I thought, in her race, and she's got a win in her soon. Fiesta tried hard, just ran into a pretty good filly in Miss Fabulous. Brimham Rocks, can he make up the ground going into a Metropolitan against Sevilius?
Yeah, I think so. I think, of the placings yesterday, I think he would be the one that's got the most upside to him. I bet Miss Fabulous, the big Fiesta, she's the superstar. Mm. I can only think back to First Seal and Winks. That's how I felt after Winks was beaten by First Seal helplessly in the same race.
Mm.
And that's basically, flat enough. We thought, well, poor old Winks is not going to win a Group 1 race, running into this horse all the time. So. Brimham Rocks, Metropolitan for him in 2 weeks' time is the plan. I hope he gets a start. He could be a risk of getting a run, but he's one to follow because he's got 2 mile, good staying form from Europe, and that's a big thing with the horses coming out here for the Cups.
Mm. Hey, Chris, it's always interesting when these newspaper men contact you at different stages during the course of the week and they're trying to find a new angle to work on. And the angle that was found on Friday by the young Ray Thomas was, what's going to happen when she loses? You know, how do you prepare for that? And I thought, gee, you're tempting fate here, Raymond and Chris. And then she didn't lose, but your All Blacks did. So I don't know whether he had any impact on that, but I thought that was interesting.
I think it just goes to show, and it doesn't matter how good you are, how much skill you've got, everything's just got to come together on the day, and that's just a big part of sport and what makes sport so great. You just don't know what's around the corner. I watched the last 20 minutes, and they were always in control. They were always going to win, but they didn't win.
Yeah.
They were always behind. So, that's the thing great in sport. And, unfortunately, for Winks as competitors, it's not that easy, but any team, you know, that there's always the possibility of an upset.
Yeah.
Well, she just keeps winning. It's fantastic to watch. We never tire of it, Chris. And look, we appreciate, as always, your time on a Sunday morning. And enjoy the day, and happy birthday to Steph as well.
Thanks very much,
Ray. Thanks, Chris.
There you go. Chris Waller there had a horse running around called Winks yesterday that did very... You always support two teams in rugby, don't you? The Wallabies and whoever's playing the All Blacks. I think that's pretty standard. 13:53:53. That is the open line number. We're going to go to callers right now, and Baz is on the line. G'day, Baz. No, who we got? Paul. G'day, Paul.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, really
good morning,
well,
Paul.
Mate.
I've got a couple, but, backpacking in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Before I give you the couple I've got, if anyone wants to go and watch Queen's Park Rangers play,
mm-hmm.
they don't play in Queen's Park. Loftus Road is not at Queen's Park.
Okay.
But a combi full of mates rushing down there to watch them play Cologne in the European Cup game. And, trying to find the ground in Queen's Park don't work.
It's not working. Okay, okay.
There you go. All right.
The couple I got was I saw... Liverpool and Spurs at Anfield.
Would have been great, yeah.
The old ground. And but the biggest one was the war at Glasgow when Rangers played Celtic at Parkhead.
The old firm derby, yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was like a world war up there.
What year was that, Paul? What year?
That would have been 76 or 77, I think.
Okay.
Oh, it was just unbelievable.
Who won, Paul? Can you remember?
No, I can't. It was probably Celtic because it was their home ground.
Yeah, probably Celtic.
Good guys have won for a long time.
They probably won
Rangers.
The war too in the bus on the way home.
They reckon, Paul, you've got to be careful which pub you go to in Glasgow, what you're wearing
for sure.
At different stages.
For sure, yeah. Look, we weren't really allowed to go unless we went to local. We knew what was going on, and we had to find someone to take us. So.
Yeah.
Just here, terrific.
Very good. Good nominations, Paul. Keep them coming in. 13:53:53. That's what we're talking about today. The great stadiums you've been to, the great atmospheres on the back of Allianz Stadium hosting their last game, and that's going to be the preliminary final, the Roosters up against the Rabbitohs next week. Baz is on the line, wants to talk the same topic. G'day, Baz.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
Morning, Baz.
We're in a combi. The old man packed us up pretty quickly. For whatever reason, back in the late 70s, and we ended up in Europe. Don't know why we had to leave the country that quick, but whoever got the story out of the old man would probably be good.
But you might not want to know, Baz. No.
Correct. But we ended up at Longchamp Racecourse. The old man's only 5 foot one and super fit. And we were walking past the racetrack on, we'd been to the Derby, and of course the Arc was booked out, and the bloke said, Jockey International? And my father said, Roy Higgins. So they ushered us in. And,
come on.
No, straight up. It was 1977, and we watched Balmerino get run down
by a ledge. Balmerino 1-2, the great Balmerino from New Zealand. Yeah. Is that right? And that's an amazing story, Baz.
Then the other one was I went to Madison Square Garden, but it wasn't a sporting event. We saw Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead, and I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, and I can't remember leaving. So you
were literally a deadhead, Baz.
Pretty much, yeah. It was amazing. I've never seen so many strange people in one place in my life.
Hey, try coming in here to Sky Sports Radio during the course of the week. You'll go close.
Have a great Sunday, boys.
Hey, good call, Baz. You want to give me a little list here?
That's
Baz.
A double asterisk there from Baz. There. There's some good calls in that one. All right, let's stay on the open line. Simon's there. G'day, Simon.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Morning, Simon.
Well, mate.
Yeah, I was watching the... I'm a mad Dragon supporter, okay? Mm. And I was watching the game last night, and there's two issues about the game. The first issue was about the trip when St. George had the ball and they were running with the ball. There was a trip in by the South Sydney player. I don't know, I forgot.
One of the Burgess brothers, yeah.
Yeah.
He stuck his leg out.
Sorry?
He stuck his leg out, yep.
Yeah. I think St. George should have got the penalty and should be on a report. It didn't even happen.
Match review committee will have a look at it. I thought he got his hands there at the same time.
Yeah, but St. George should have got the penalty by then. They didn't get it.
Oh, you could argue that. I don't think that's the biggest decision that was made on the night.
But Simon had two. What was the second one, Simon?
And the second one, when St. George had the ball and that McGuinness threw the pass.
Yep.
That should be a penalty to St. George. That should be a penalty to St. George because he should have moved out of the way.
Yeah, Jimmy. Simon, Jimmy and I have debated this one, and I agree with you, but Jimmy has his own view. He thought it should have been play on, and we've had some callers in support of your call too, Jim.
As the rule stands, it can't be play on because they're saying to the referees, you have to make a decision. And previously they were saying, penalise a person that's lying in the ruck. Now they're saying, penalise a person who's throwing the ball. But as we saw last night, Cameron Murray didn't move out of the ruck.
And that's the key.
So that's why it's a harsh penalty on Cameron McGuinness, and that's why it should be play on at that point. Here's a tweet that's come in at Big Sports WEND. If you think NRL refs are bad, you need to watch the AFL semi, Pies v Giants, to see GWS Giants get absolutely and utterly robbed. It dead set bordered on cheating. The AFL umps made it 100% sure it would be a Tigers Pies prelim. Gee, I didn't see that.
I've got a tape to watch today, so there you go. Yeah.
That's from Bird. Good on you, Bird. Okay. We'll have to check that one out. 1353 53 is the Apple line number. We're going to a break now. But before we go to the break, we've got to tell people to call for the quiz, the Event Cinemas quiz. Call now. Score update?
2016.
Call now if you want to be a part of the quiz.
We've got
a double pass to the VMAX Cinemas, courtesy of Event Cinemas. So call now if you want to be a part of the quiz. 1353 53.
Divine Profit. Group 1 placed at 2, winning the Stallion making Caulfield Guineas at 3.
They come to the line together, Divine Prophet!
His first foals are on the ground, and this son of Schwazier has delivered. Champion sire, champion foals. Divine Prophet at Aquas Farm.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Sutton City is now the home of Sydney's newest Mitsubishi dealership. Shop the entire range of Mitsubishi vehicles at Sutton City. And this month, Mitsubishi is in runout. So if you're in the market for a Mitsubishi, we have ripper deals with free fuel cards and 1.9% finance on selected models. We have plenty of on-site parking, and you'll find Sutton City on Link Road, Bentland, just off Southern Cross Drive. So come on down and meet the team at Sutton City Mitsubishi. SuttonCityMitsubishi.com.au.
Conditions apply. MD14314.
Bill, wide, for Lau! Israel
Argentina.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Just about to jump into the Event Cinemas quiz. And it's been dubbed, Roman, the biggest fight in UFC history. And Event Cinemas at George Street are screening it live. Sunday, October 7th, see the fight on the biggest screen in the Sydney CBD. That's the VMAX. We've got the Double Pass VMAX to give away today. Don't miss a second of the action as the notorious Conor McGregor returns to the octagon after a 2-year hiatus. Can Conor retake the UFC lightweight title from unbeaten reigning champ Khabib? Cinebuzz members experience the action for just $20. Get your tickets now at eventcinemas.com.au. Now, I'm player one, am I?
Yes.
Right, which means what?
I've been coming second all weekend.
No, no. It means you've got an obsession with even numbers, so you want to be player two. All right, Noel's on the line. G'day, Noel.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, morning, really Noel. Well, mate.
A quick question, mate. Just quick before we start.
Oh, hang on. Noel. We're meant to ask the question.
That's all right. Let him go. What do you got for us, Noel?
You know, he had Zorba on earlier. I'm a crazy Manny supporter. You know how they were saying he never trust a Greek with a forked tongue, mate, because he knows more than what's happening.
That's what Jimmy suspects.
Hang on. Let's be careful in these modern ages.
Maybe he can't talk just yet, Noel.
Yes. Yeah.
But he's always good, Zorba.
I reckon the actual guy who should be at Manny should be Maguire. The ex-South Sydney coach.
Jimmy's been an advocate of Maguire, haven't you?
Well, he's a premiership-winning coach. I don't know why you wouldn't have a look at him. Anyway.
Let's get on with it, boys.
All right. Thanks for that, Noel.
Have you got your rundown there, Noel? Or we're just going off hours here. All right, here we go. Question one. Usain Bolt took a break from trialling with the Central Coast Mariners on Wednesday to do what?
It was some function. He was overseas. Is that close enough or no?
Any more information, Noel?
I can't think off the top of my head. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. He took a zero-gravity flight over France.
Did you see the vision?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you'd love to do it. It just looked fantastic.
Good. Let's get back on track here. Question two. What costume did Geelong's Joel Selwood turn up to Wacky Wednesday in? This is the Geelong Cats have their Wacky Wednesday. What costume did Joel Selwood turn up in? Is it A, Russell Coit, B, Kim Jong-un, or C, Prince Harry?
Prince Harry?
Yeah. Who was Megan?
I
didn't see that player there.
Is it Megan?
Yeah. Question three. Better get it right out of Dubbo.
Correct, yeah.
What has Louisiana Mayor Ben Zahn banned? Is it A, Nike products? Is it B, Australian cartoonists? Or is it C, the New York Yankees?
I'll go with Nike.
Well done, Noel.
Well, educated guess there, Noel. Well done. Yes, it is Nike products in the wake of the Colin Kaepernick campaign, which is dividing America. Good on you, Noel. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, as the great Meatloaf said.
You're looking good, James. Cliff, good morning.
Morning, Ray.
Hey, Cliff, we need 2 to tie, 3 to win, my friend, so the very best of luck. Question number one, how many Dally M medals has the now-retired Jonathan Thurston won?
3.
Oh, hang on. Can panel operator Hamish give himself an
uppercut?
There.
Sorry, Cliff is actually 4. I don't know what panel operator Hamish was doing.
Do it again, Hamish.
He's got it right there. Hey, Cliff, we're still in the game, but we need to get this one right. Question number two. Last week, Naomi Osaka became the first Japanese tennis player to win a Grand Slam. How old is Naomi? A, is she 18, B, 20, or C, 22?
18.
She's 20
years old.
We might
as well stop the fight.
James says stop the fight. Bad luck, Cliff. James, you've won again.
Yeah, unlucky Cliff.
You're getting bored with this, aren't you, James?
No, I'm not getting bored with it at all. I've seen you've got a Winx-like finish, Ray Thomas, especially when the forces outside start to conspire against me. Noel? You there, Noel?
Yes, mate.
You're the winner.
Congrats, Noel. Well done, mate.
Well done, buddy.
Thank you.
Where do you live, Noel?
I live in West Pennant Hills.
Oh, mate, VMAX at Castle Hill, or there's one at Parramatta for the Event Cinemas. Good on you, mate. Stay on the line. We'll be sending that out
Well done, Nye.
Straight away. So just a little score update there. 21. By the way, just on Naomi Osaka, who is 20 years of age, do you see all the endorsement deals that are rolling in for her?
And I'm happy for her, because her moment in the sun got absolutely eclipsed almost by that Serena Williams farce. How, if that was sexism and racism, that was a cloak to mask her abhorrent behaviour, I think.
What did you make of the Mark Knight cartoon that was featured prominently throughout the week?
That created debate, didn't it?
Yes, but what did you think of it, Ray?
I didn't think it was too bad, quite honest with you.
1353 53, the open line number.
It's satire. That's what it's about.
Didn't they double down on it the next day?
Well, there's very similar ones done by American cartoonists that they lauded just 2 or 3 years ago, and Mark Knight got absolutely hammered. It's just satire. That's what it is.
1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Dean Bulldog Ritchie very shortly. And just before we get to that, can't believe I'm even thinking of agreeing with Peter Peters. Where are the women's refs? Help me. That's from Paramat. And then we get this from Rod from Nowra. Cara Lee Nolan will become the first lady to ref a Group 7 first grade grand final today. It's Shell Harbour versus Kiama at Collegian Sporting Complex. So there you go. They're making their progress. And there's another one there about
you coming second, and all that, which we won't get to.
We'll get to Dean Ritchie first.
50 months interest free. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until November 2022 at Harvey Norman. Furniture and bedding, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum financed amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 50 months interest free available now, in store and online. No deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until November 2022. 50 months interest free at Harvey Norman.
Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL in the run to the 2018 finals. There's latest club news, expert analysis, in-depth features and statistics, and exclusive columns from the game's biggest stars, and something for even the youngest rugby league fans. Big League is your most trusted source of rugby league information, and after 99 years, we're still the only place to find official team lists for every grade. Grab this week's copy of Big League Magazine, on sale now at news agencies, supermarkets and NRL games. Sky Sports Radio and Tabcorp are proud supporters of Rural Aid. With so many people being affected by drought, we urge you to back the Buy a Bale campaign. Call 1300 327 624 to help our New South Wales farmers.
Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. When are you and lovely Tracy coming out, by the way?
When I'm invited.
Oh, yeah, open invite for you to come out.
Oh, open invite's no invite. Today, time.
Okay.
Where are we going?
We'll lock that
Osso.
In. Break. Osso's, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to try the filet mignon. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all those outstanding restaurants and bars, James, I'm always on about. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you're a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Time now to speak to our regular on a Sunday morning. He's the number one rugby league writer for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. Is that right, Ray?
Correct.
You're saying he's the number one?
They're all level. They're equal. Dead heats.
So you're not equal first. First.
First among equals.
There you go. There you go. Dean Bulldog. Richie, you've been promoted. Good morning.
And geez, you rigged out that one, didn't you, Ray?
Oh, dear. What about these games? I know there's a fair bit happening off the field, Dino, but this quality of the football that we're getting, the closeness of the contest, the intensity of the matches, is just something to behold.
Isn't it funny, Jimmy? For many years, I've always said that the game on the field saves the game off the field. Every time we go through these dramas that attract front-page headlines, we come up with a couple of absolutely ripping games of football, and we get back to realising exactly why we love rugby league. It's not about the scandals or the dramas. It's about what we see every weekend on the field for those 80 minutes. And we'll forget two semi-finals, two sudden death semi-finals, both to be decided by 1 point is just unbelievably extraordinary.
Yeah, I've been in the fetal position since last night after the second one was finished. Hey, Dino, just in relation to South Sydney, they obviously a lot of issues going into that game off the field. I asked Orba this earlier. A win like that can really give the club some impetus now going into the prelim final.
Yeah, certainly, Ray. It was a courageous win. Obviously, there was even some scuttlebutt around ANZ Stadium about an hour before kickoff last night that Sam Burgess wouldn't play. Quite clearly, that mail was incorrect. But that shows the element of issue that was going on from within the club at Redfern. Look, it's a very unsavoury story. There's no denying that. And look, South are now working with the lady involved and also the NRL Integrity to try and sort that as quick as they can. No doubt, whatever the resolution is, they would want it done if they could early this week just to try and clear the decks before this massive game. Already indications are, guys, that the NRL is expecting a sellout, which would be the very last game, of course, at Allianz Stadium before it's knocked down. And the capacity there is about 45,000 to 46,000 people.
Just on the Sam Burgess issue, are we expecting action from the South Sydney Rabbitohs? Are we expecting action from the NRL? When you compare it with
the Bulldogs issue.
Well, it's the Bulldogs issue. If you want to go back to Mitchell Pearce in 2016, and look, I'm desperate to see Sam play, but Mitchell Pearce was suspended for 8 games and was fined $125,000, which I think we recognise now is completely over the top. However, when you line it up with what's happening at South Sydney, do we draw any parallels there, Dean, and do we expect some sort of response from the NRL on this?
Well, generally what would happen, Jimmy, historically, is that the club would go to the NRL after completing their investigation and say, look, these are the penalties, if any, that we want to implement. And the NRL would say, look, yes or no, we agree, we don't, they're too lenient, they're too hefty. So I think what would happen, Jimmy, is that the South Sydney Rabbitohs would make the initial call, they'll work with Integrity, they'll get some form of recommendation and go back to the NRL, which would land on the commissioner's desk, and then they would take it from there as to whether they think the penalty is too lenient. Quite often, obviously, clubs would go unders. They're very rarely going to go overs. But I think in this case, you know, some form of penalty will have to be implemented. But, you know, we hope it's not, I guess, for the sake of the final series, it would be disappointing if
suspensions. Yeah.
Well, on that issue then, Dino, I know every of these situations are vastly different, but the Canterbury Bulldogs issue was dealt with very, very quickly and swiftly and decisively by the NRL, whether you agree with that penalty or not, but that was over within a couple of days. How long would this issue go with South Sydney?
Well, this emerged, I think, on Thursday, right? Today, Sunday. Look, at the speed at which the Bulldogs completed their investigation and got it done, you'd think that South would like to get this wrapped up by tomorrow, if not Tuesday at the latest. I know the NRL is very, very keen for South to complete it so then they can approve any punishment or the findings so we can move on. I think this week has to be dominated by rugby league. We've got to make sure that this is a sellout. It's a cracking game. Two foundation clubs. We just can't be bogged down in ongoing headlines. So I think you'll find that this will be done at breakneck speed. So I'll make sure they get it right. Don't get me wrong there.
Or potentially, Dino, potentially then, could it possibly be put to one side as an investigation ongoing whilst the Rabbitohs are still in the competition?
Look, they may well do that, Ray. I would think that would be the wrong move. I think that would just have a black cloud hanging over the club and the game and the finals. I think it would be better for everybody just to try and clear it up as quickly and as best we can. So, as I said, we can move on and try and promote what could be one of the all-time great semi-finals.
I think the Bulldogs are appealing that penalty handed down by the National Rugby League as well, so we'll wait and see the outcome to that one. Gallen, will he play?
I spoke to the Sharks last night, Jimmy, and look, they really couldn't tell me too much. I said it's very early in the week. A brave man would rule out Paul Gallen. It'd have to be incredibly difficult for him to say, I'm not playing. If I'm a betting man, Jimmy, a little $5 on the side, I'd rule him in.
Yeah, I think you're saying.
Luke Lewis?
Yeah, I think you'd be okay too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I guess the big question mark is today the charge sheet will come out from last night through the match review committee, and the Greg Inglis situation will be very interesting.
Mm.
I don't think he's got any carryover points, though. If he gets a grade one, you'd think that with no carryover points, he may well get charged for that crusher tackle, but I think he'd be free to play in the big game.
Mm. Any other news around, mate? What's happening with the Manly coach? Zorba knows nothing about it.
Yeah, it's ongoing. I've made a few calls late last week, Jimmy, and look, at the moment, they really can't name any coach. In fact, I'm not even sure they're approaching too many coaches, Jimmy, until they resolve the Barrett situation. Quite clearly, they're going to have to give him some form of a payout. They don't want to. They're adamant that Trent quit, so why should they pay? But look, under the terms of his contract, he's not actually going to leave the club in July next year. You can't have that quite clearly. So they're going to have to at least give him a payout till July next year, and then they can move forth and more than likely appoint either John Cartwright or Neil Henry.
Mm. And just quickly, Dan, before we let you go, mate, your quick tips for next week's weekend's prelim final, Storm versus Sharks on Friday night, and of course that classic, potentially, the Rabbitohs Rabbitohs v Roosters on Saturday night, mate.
Yeah, you'd think the Storm would win down there, Ray. I'd love to see the Sharks get through, but a lot depend on Gallen. But look, if you put him on the spot right now, I'll go in Melbourne. And about 8 weeks ago, I tipped the Roosters to win the comp. I've seen nothing to sway me against that, so I'll go the Roosters. Just before I go, very quickly, guys, Corey Oates and George Illawarra played last night. They're now a new club in the 8-club chase for Corey Oates. So the Dragons in the mix there. And Manly have let go young Tom Wright, a rugby union prodigy that came across 4 years ago. Exceptional speed, but he has been given a release 1 year before his contract ends at Brookvale. But he's been signed by the Brumbies and already had chats with Michael Checker.
Mm.
Perhaps we might see Tom might pop up in either a Waratahs or Wallabies jumper in years to come.
And let's just clarify.